I'm so for Relo. Green like I'm CeeLo. Hanging out with Kilo. Keesh, smoking on that Keisha. I'ma need that visa. I'm working on everything that I'm touching, man. I'm busting two white Russians, drinking themselves, but it still ain't nothing, yo. It's Eastside, if you can't tell. North Decatur, England, Dale. So fuck y'all, all y'all. If y'all don't like me, good. Put that on my partner, man. I wish a nigga would. I'm saying we ain't playing, man. I hope that's understood. I'm in my zone, though. Fucking round with that photo. Eating my mama's salmon, but skipping on the risotto. Girl said that she need the follows. Tweet her and she'll do any. Man, I'm trying to stay off. Reading them makes me angry. On the back of the tour bus, recording the two of us. Stacks at that Apple store, man. It's ballin', it's new to us. Trying to make amends, bailing on all my friends. Niggas went to the clubs and a beat to Gucci instead. Man, I'm feeling right. My nigga fam yelling, don't stop. And half my crew is always faded on some low top. Stop drinking for the most part. My only vice is all our pictures on my laptop. You screaming at me saying I ain't what you really want. Christina's parents, baby, all I make is millions. We got the shows, we got the paper, but I want respect. So tell them haters we ain't quitting yet. Let them know.
One love, you can let it out. You can let it out. You can let it out. Cause I should've known, I should've known. Should've known, I should've known.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode 19 of the report. Yeah, man. 2013, new year. I trust everybody celebrated responsibly. I trust everybody tried to do that shit as safely as possible. I trust a lot of you motherfuckers actually went out and got fucked up. Because I know I got, I didn't get fucked up, but I drank a lot that night. I had fun for New Year's. And again, like I said, I hope you guys had fun too, man. But yeah, it's 2013, man. And this is the first show of the year. And yeah, let's get right into this, man. Let's get right into this. I had some random thoughts, and I want to talk about what I did for New Year's or whatever. But yeah, I had a couple random thoughts that I just need to get these off my chest, so to speak, man. Of course, y'all know, man. Like, because I do a YouTube channel and stuff like that, I watch a lot of YouTube, and I watch a lot of the news. I keep track of a lot of news on like either my tablet, my phone, or whatever. I keep up with a lot of that stuff, or at least I try to. And there was a story that came out over the holidays about, it was a couple stories that came out, but this one in particular was about the Easy Bake Oven. And there was this young girl, I think her name was like McKenna Pope or something. She might have been like 13 or whatever. And McKenna Pope wanted, she asked her little brother what he wanted for Christmas. And he named off a couple things. And then he also named a Easy Bake Oven. And so I'm watching the video, and the girl goes on to ask her brother about the commercials for the Easy Bake Oven. And the boy said, it's all girls in the video or in the commercials or whatever. And she thought there was an issue with that. And there was also an issue that she had with the Easy Bake Ovens being pink and purple or whatever. So she had people signing a petition asking for Hasbro, the makers of the Easy Bake Oven, to make gender neutral colors for the Easy Bake Oven. And Hasbro came up with black, silver, and blue for boys for the Easy Bake Oven. Now, a lot of people, they applauded Hasbro. I mean, I'd look at it as if, Hasbro just saw it as another way to make money. Like, okay, we can actually we could double our market by marketing these to young boys. I also thought it was a bit funny because it's a two-edged sword to me. And I think that McKenna Pope girl, I think she was coached in that whole being outraged that that Hasbro has made Easy Bake Ovens more marketable to girls. And the reason that I believe that is because the little boy, already knowing that there was all girls in the commercials, knowing that the Easy Bake Oven came in purple and pink, did not give a damn about what color it was. He didn't give a damn about whether it was girls in the commercial. All that little boy knew was that he wanted an Easy Bake Oven. He didn't give a damn about the social ramifications of that. He wanted a toy. And I mean, I saw it as a, like, it was a feel-good story. Like, oh yeah, Hasbro is, they're making, you know, more gender-neutral Easy Bake Ovens, this, that, and others. Like, to me, it seemed like the only person out of the whole thing that had the most sane outtake of the whole thing was a little boy who they made the issue of when he had no issue whatsoever. Yeah, that was one of the things that I thought was a bit interesting over the holiday season, man. And then it was another thing too, man. I don't get this. Every year, it seems like now, kids are finding porn in their toys. They had another story out about, I think they said the kid was like 5. I forget where these people were from, but it was like 2 little boys and their dad had gotten them a Nintendo DS from GameStop. Of course, like, he bought a used one. And they said the boys found, I think they said it was like maybe 9 pictures of some sexual activity in the on the Nintendo DS. And it really fucked those little boys up. They were like in tears over the fact that, you know, over seeing these naked images and these sexual acts in the picture. Even I think the father even kind of got broken up during the interview about, you know, the fact that they found sexual images on the Nintendo DS. Now, GameStop is saying that they're investigating whether and, you know, what happened. But, I mean, it's pretty clear what happened. If they were selling used merchandise, nobody went through the shit to clear it out. Either that or somebody at GameStop took some pictures, put it on the Nintendo DS as a joke, and, you know, they found it that way. But then that wasn't even the only issue that happened this year with that. There was another woman who said she bought her daughter, I forget exactly what type of toy it was, but she bought something. It was supposed to be brand new out of the box. She got it from a big box store. I think it might have been like Target or Walmart or something like that. And, you know, she said she found, or her kids found, sexual images on a supposedly brand new toy. It had to be some type of tablet or video game or something like that, but it was supposedly some explicit images on these toys. Now, the second lady, the store offered to take the toy back and give her a brand new one out of the box and everything else. She took it a step further and said that wasn't enough, and she's now suing the store for mental trauma to make sure that this never happens again to another kid. Okay. She's gonna get some money, and next year this very same thing is gonna happen. It happens every year. Ever since we've been getting children, a lot of these socially active, internet connected type of toys, they all seem to be coming with porn on them, so to speak. And I don't want to be too cynical in saying that I don't believe all of these stories, because I don't. Some of these stories, I feel like it's a money grab, sort of like this last story. I'm gonna put the link up to that story on thespanreport.com so you guys can check it out for yourself, because I don't have all of the information on my head right now, and you know, I may be like dropping some false information right now. I don't know. But I'm going to put the link up to that story and possibly the video up to that story on thespanreport.com so you can check that out for yourself and see what I'm talking about. But it's happening a lot. It's happening a whole lot. So, yeah, man, we'll see what happens next year when it comes to all the toys with the pornographic material being put on it, man. Another thing, too, man, that seems to be happening a lot. I've been seeing a lot of news articles and hearing a lot of news clips about people finding tickets where service providers are, you know, describing them as fat. Like, there was a story a few weeks ago about a group of, I think I might have heard this on the Black Guy Who Tips, where they were talking about, it was a table of women, and they had, like, the receipt or something said, like, you know, they were fat girls or something. And they were, you know, they were obviously heard about it and stuff like that. But then I saw yesterday there was a story about a woman that was like an actress, and she was leaving a theater, and like the valet person had written on the ticket describing her as the one in the red dress at the theater, and she was fat. And apparently this is something that goes on all the time. Like there was I think they had it on MSNBC or NBC, one of them damn networks. But they had it on there where they were talking about how people who are in service, they'll put descriptions of people in the receipts. Like, they had one, they were saying that the guy was bald. They had one saying the guy was Asian. They had one said the guy would like these this pizza was for nerds and stuff like that. And it's just amazing to me that, okay, again, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but some of these motherfucking descriptions were accurate, and people were upset. The women that were called fat, even though it was probably not the, you know, the most, what would we call it, polite thing to do, they were kind of fat. You know, and I didn't realize how often this was happening. I wonder what the fuck they're describing me as when I'm out and about and I'm going to get like service, getting my car washed, or out at the restaurant getting something to eat or whatever. I wanted to like just say the dude, the asshole dude in the corner or some shit like that. I don't know. I kind of openly wonder about it though, now that I know that a lot of people in the service industry are describing folks in some unflattering ways when they, you know, I guess when they describe you to other people at the job, you know. So I thought that was a bit interesting. But now that I got those couple random thoughts out the way, man, so for New Year's, I tried to celebrate responsibly. This year I didn't go to any house parties or nothing like that, you know. As I normally would do, I would go over to some friend's house and we'd eat, we'd drink, and we keep it safe that way. I remember last year this time I thought somebody was shooting at me and I almost dropped my weapon. Luckily they weren't, and I didn't shoot nobody. I just hurry up and got my ass in the house. So this year, me and my girl, we decided, like, you know, we were going to go to this concert. So we went to go see Kim. I'm pretty sure some of you may know who Kim is. He's an artist from Detroit. He sings that song, "When Love Calls Your Name." I'm not going to try to, like, sing that shit, so don't ask. And he also was doing the show with Mike Epps. So it was like a comedy show slash concert or whatever. And it was real cool, man. Mike Epps is a motherfucking fool. I'm just put that out there right now. And I could tell Mike Epps, he visits Detroit a lot, you know. And you could tell in the stand-up, he has a real affinity for the city of Detroit. And it's appreciated when he comes through. And he gets much love when he comes to Detroit. And Kim being from Detroit, you know, he does a lot of things within the city, because Kim started out, I believe they were talking about, Kim was actually homeless at one point. So for him to be a Motown artist, I think actually him and Mike Epps did the movie Sparkle together with Whitney Houston. So for him to go from being a homeless guy to being the guy that he is now, like putting on concerts and like the way that he's a major artist now. I mean, the chick El Renee, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of her. Actually, I think I played one of her songs on the podcast before, but she opened the show, and I really wish that El Renee would have opened the show with some of her own music, because you know, she sang some really good renditions of other people's songs, but I was really hoping that, because once I learned that El Renee would be opening the show, I really felt like she probably, it would have been a whole lot better if she had sang her own stuff, man, because not a lot of people know who El Renee is. Now, my girl was saying that, well, because not a lot of people know who El Renee is, that they probably wouldn't have appreciated as much as I would have, because I do listen to El Renee and I am familiar with her work. So it was probably a good thing that she didn't sing her own stuff, because other people wouldn't have known how to take it. So That's one way to look at it, but it was a really good show, man. We had gotten a room, you know, we got a nice hotel room and stuff like that, and I was glad that I didn't spend the New Year around my place, because when I came home New Year's Day and I go around the back of my apartment complex and I see so many fucking shell cases of niggas wasting bullets shooting in the fucking air, I'm like, you know what, this is reason 6914 to get my ass out of the city of Detroit. And it's happening real soon. Trust and believe that one. I'm so sick of telling motherfuckers I'm moving. But it's happening soon, man. It's happening soon. I put it to you like this. Within the next 5 episodes, your man Span won't be a resident of the city of Detroit. Put it to you like that. And you know what? Speaking of Detroit, you know, today, the mayor of the city of Detroit, he talked about the crime statistics in the city. And Detroit has, I'm trying to think. A lot of this is off the top of my head right now. I don't have a lot of the shit in front of me. I can't remember whether or not he said that the murder rate in Detroit, where we killed 372 people or 412. I don't know. But you have to understand that the city of Detroit no longer even has 1 million residents anymore. Like, Detroit is hemorrhaging residents. And, yeah, a lot of motherfuckers died in Detroit this year. A lot of sad cases of people dying, people getting killed, children dying and being killed. And it's unfortunate, and it's part of the reason why I'm moving the fuck out. You know, I've been I remember a few years ago, man, I was a real big proponent of not leaving the city, man. I don't want to leave the city, but at the same time, man, it's like, it's not safe. I don't feel safe in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? It's part of the reason why I carry the way that I do, and I'm adamant about it. But yeah, man, it's not a safe city. You ride around a lot of places in Detroit, major streets, and there are no street lights on the major roads. Ride down certain section of Grand River, ride down certain sections of Woodward, ride down certain sections of Gratiot. These are three main roads, these are three main drags in Detroit, and you'll have pockets of those, like big swaths of those roads, that don't even have street lights on. You have a whole lot of neighborhoods where there's one house that's actually habitable, that people can actually live in. You know, it's fucked up, man. And I hate to be so down on the city, because again, even though I'm from Chicago, I grew up a lot of my life. I spent a lot of my life in Detroit. At this point now, I've lived in Detroit longer than I've ever lived in Chicago. So Detroit is home for me. And to see the city the way that it is, man, it's just like, man, this is some bullshit. It, you know, and I could have a romanticized view of it. I mean, shit, I grew up in Detroit I moved to Detroit in 86. You know, the crack epidemic was going on then, but at least then you still had some semblance of a neighborhood. You don't even have that now. You know, parents still kind of looked out for one another. I remember at one point with my mom and a couple of like the neighbors around the way, I actually looked at some of these other women as like, you know, family. Like, I called Aunt Brenda. I was calling her kids cousins. These were my cousins. We would go to school and we would call each other cousins. That's how tight we were, you know. And I don't know, I don't necessarily think that, you know, kids have it that tight nowadays. You know, a lot of people tend to kind of cut that shit off as far as like being able to be neighborly and to look after one another's kids. A lot of people don't want you talking to their kids. It's all sorts of shit, you know. And you know, that's unfortunate. And you know, shit, while I'm still talking shit about the city of Detroit, I kind of went on like this little mini rant on Facebook about the trial of Kwame Kilpatrick. I don't know if a lot of you guys know that that trial is actually going on. There's a federal corruption trial going on with Kwame Kilpatrick, his dad Bernard Kilpatrick, and his friend, which is he was a developer in the city, a guy named Bobby Ferguson. and they have been on trial for about two months or something like that. They've been on trial for about 2 months. And the thing that's irritating to me right now is that the judge in that trial didn't allow for cameras to be in the courtroom so that they could broadcast that trial. I really feel as if that was one trial where they needed to allow that process to be viewed by everybody. I can remember back in 94, 95, when O.J. Simpson killed Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, or allegedly, whatever. But during his trial, O.J. Simpson's trial was on TV nationwide. Nationwide. Channel 2 here in Detroit, they actually stopped showing, or they rescheduled certain shows around the O.J. Simpson trial so that they could show you this the trial live. And then sometimes the news would, you know, kind of cut in between, and then they go right back to the trial. As if that was some really important national shit. And it probably did. I mean, it probably was because of the celebrity of O.J. Simpson. But here you have the trial of the mayor of Detroit, who supposedly committed crimes against the citizens of the city of Detroit. And the only information that we can get as citizens in the city is to hear it, you know, trickled out through the media, through the news. You know, well, this is what happened in the courtroom today, and this was a bombshell, and this, that, and the other. It's like, well, wait a minute. We don't know what the fuck happened in that courtroom. What you may consider a bombshell, I might not. You know, and it feel like, you know, the trial is, or the significance or the importance of certain aspects of the trial are being determined for us because nobody can actually see what the fuck is going on in there. So, yeah, man, I don't know, man. Even if you're like a supporter of Kilpatrick, if you're not a supporter of Kilpatrick, I still kind of feel like as if, as citizens of the city of Detroit, that people should be able to at least know what's going on for themselves and make that decision for themselves and not get that all the time through the filter of the media. Of course, you know, of whom Kilpatrick didn't always have a healthy relationship with. So, yeah. But enough about Detroit, man. Enough about Detroit. What I want to talk to you guys about, man, this was kind of like organic as all hell, because I really was not expecting this conversation to go this way. It started when I was at work. You know, during my downtime, sometimes if we don't really have a whole lot of shit to do, if there's really nothing for us to do, sometimes I'll pull out my phone and I'll watch Netflix. And today I was watching an episode of Strange Sex on Netflix. And on this episode of Strange Sex, there was this guy who was having trouble climaxing with his wife. And he did research on, you know, trying to figure out why the older he got, the less he was able to enjoy sex. He said he was still able to, you know, produce a hard-on and stuff like that. It wasn't erection problems or anything like that, but he was losing sensation in his penis the older he got. And all of his research led him to believe that because he was circumcised, that was the reason why he was having trouble climaxing with his wife during sex the older he got. So he took it upon himself. The guy's an engineer, and he came up with a contraption to try to regrow the foreskin on his dick, okay? And he does have a YouTube channel. I think it's TLC Tugger or something like that, so you might be able to check him out, or you could check out Strange Sex Season 2, Episode 3, and you could check that out and find out exactly who I'm talking about. But I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and he was making the point that, you know, he was really upset that his penis, you know, his dick was being cut on, and he had no say in the matter. He had no, it was a decision that was made for him, and he kind of resented the fact that someone had made that decision for him. And yeah, this shit is about to get real personal. it kind of made me think about my little situation, you know, my situation. Not, it's not little, but anyway, y'all don't, whatever. Kind of made me think about my situation. Okay. I posted this, I posed a question on my personal, as a matter of fact, I posted it on the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook too. So, check that out. But I posted this question on Facebook and I was asking the women, I asked the women, if you knew that, circumcising your son could reduce would reduce the sensation in his penis by about 30%, would you still have the procedure done, or were you more concerned about the looks of his penis? Okay. And I got, you know, it was a pretty lively discussion going on there. And I had a friend, I had a couple friends, like a couple lady friends of mine who were telling me stories about their dads, who had one friend, you know, was saying that, you know, her dad had issues with urinary tract infections. He didn't get cut until he was in his 20s and he had issues with that. And that's why he got circumcised. Another woman, she chimed in and said, yeah, my dad didn't get cut till he was in his 20s. And then another woman came in and said, like, yeah, my dad said he ripped the skin on his penis trying to have sex when he was in his 20s, so he got cut. And so in having this discussion, and I was kind of like, you know what, fuck it. You know, and I'm kind of going to go right now and just say fuck it right now and just talk about my own experience with circumcision, okay? Wow. But when I was a kid, when I was a baby, I wasn't cut. I don't know why. I don't know why I wasn't. You know, my mother never really discussed why I wasn't cut. But I can remember when I was 14, when my mother found out that I was sexually active, that she set up a doctor's appointment for me to go have, you know, for me to get the procedure done, to get circumcised. And I remember being in the doctor's office, and the doctor during this consultation was asking me a lot of questions as she was, you know, also examining my dick. Like, she asked me, did I have any trouble pulling the foreskin back? No trouble. Did I have any trouble, did I experience any pain, you know, doing an erection? No. I never, you know, my dick ain't never hurt getting hard. And then she asked me, you know, is it hard for me to clean it? I'm like, nah, I never had trouble, you know, never had issues cleaning my dick, you know? And, you know, as she's asking me these questions, the whole time her hand is on my dick. Right? But so like we're going through that whole procedure, and I remember this doctor telling my mom that there was no medical reason for me to have the procedure done, that she wouldn't do it, and that it would be purely cosmetic for me to have the procedure done. Now fast forward to when I'm like 24, and by this point I've been through high school, I've been through college, I'm about to go through the processes of moving in with my daughter's mom and things like that. So now I'm more experienced sexually, I'm more aware of the attitude or the stigma that comes with being uncut. And it was always funny, like, to, like, be in, like, say, a group setting with your friends and shit like that, especially when I was in college. You'd be in a group setting with your friends and whatnot, and with you know, women, we'd have sets at the spot, you know, at the apartment or whatever, and, you know, people are just talking, kind of like how we're talking now. But, you know, the issue would come up, and you would hear, like, some of the attitudes of some of the ladies about you know, being with the man that was cut and being with the man that was uncut. And for the most part, it was always like a negative response that females would get to being with the man that was uncircumcised. So, you know, I'm conscious of it, you know. Now, but it was always funny to me, though, like, because there was one or two instances where women that were having negative things to say about uncut penises that I had been with, and they never could, it was like they couldn't even tell, you know what I'm saying? It was like, it was always kind of like, eh, but I knew, like, now I'm aware of the social stigma it is to having a uncircumcised penis, and I'm self-conscious about it now, okay? So, I got a job, I'm working for an airline, and I go to see my doctor to ask the doctor to have this procedure done. Now, when I go to see the doctor this time, you know, the doctor is telling me about the health benefits of having my penis circumcised. You know, it would reduce my likelihood of having a urinary tract infection, or it would reduce my chances of contracting a sexually transmitted disease. It would reduce my chances of contracting penile cancer. It was like a whole bunch of things that he was kind of like throwing at me to say that, you know, you should probably get this done. It had, you know, when I talked to this doctor, he said nothing about whether or not I had any issues with my penis, whether or not I had any issues cleaning it, whatever. He just said, yeah, these are the pros of having it done. And I'm listening to that, and also have the social stigma of the ugly penis in my head. So I go ahead and I had it done at 24. So, yeah, I have it done, and I don't know if I really should have. And I say that because, you know, I enjoy sex. Sex is still good, but it honestly wasn't as good as it was before. And that's because I have less sensation now. I don't know if you guys really want to know me this deep, but I have less sensation now. So what people tend to not understand with that is when they're cutting that foreskin off, there's thousands of nerve endings in that skin also that they're cutting off. So, you know, it's, yeah, you're lessening the sensation in the penis when you circumcise. Now, it was interesting to see, like, some of the comments that some of the women were making about, you know, they never heard a man complain about his sensation in his penis or whatever. But the thing of it is, most of the dudes that have been cut never had a decision to make about being cut. The decision was made for them. They've never known anything else but being cut. So they couldn't tell you anything about whether or not the sensation was different or not. I was an adult when I decided to do it. I think I have a bit of perspective to add to that, you know. And it was just like, it was interesting though, because largely, you know, because I it was funny to me too, because one of the chicks, she kept talking about contracting diseases because of uncircumcised penises and everything. And she came up with some study that she found somewhere about the preponderance of guys who are uncircumcised are more likely to contract sexually transmitted diseases and whatnot. And it was just, I don't know. I mean, to me, it was more, it sounded to me, I mean, because you can come up with statistics all day long when it concerns that particular issue. But to me, it seemed as if sexual behavior could just as easily trump those percentages. And I say that to say this. If you are sexually responsible, you're monogamous, you get tested, you find out what your sexual, you know, your disease status is. If you, you're responsible with your partner, both of you guys are, you've been tested, you both negative and everything else, and you only have sex with each other, which is 9 times out of 10 what you're supposed to do, But if you do it that way, whether your man is, you know, circumcised or not, the chances of you obtaining an STD from him is pretty much minimal. If you put a condom on this uncircumcised penis, the circumstances of you, or the chances of you catching a sexually transmitted disease from this person whom are, you know, are exercising responsible sexual behaviors, then the chances of you catching a disease from that person is minimal. So, you know, it was funny to me to hear so many women defending their right to cut on their sons, so to speak. And it was funny because I had another friend that said, you know, she had her son circumcised when he was a baby. He was about a month old. She had him circumcised, and he'll never, you know, he can never miss what he never had, you know, that type of thing. And she said, I'd do it again. And I thought it was amazing that she had such a cavalier attitude about that. And I basically told her, I was like, well, you do it again because it's not your dick they cutting on, you know. And, you know, the arguments about the preponderance of sexually transmitted diseases and urinary tract infections and stuff like that, you know, I read a lot about it. Most of the things that I saw about the preponderance or the prevalence of those diseases happening were like in the 1%, you know. So it's like, yeah, man. But the attitude that some of the women were taking just kind of had me thinking. I mean, it was real interesting. I found it real interesting how mothers, so to speak, kind of looked at it as if, you know, it was their decision to make. And, you know, you're really not going to question anybody on, you know, what to do for their kids and everything else. And that wasn't what I was really trying to do. I was really just trying to open the discussion up for, you know, open up the discussion to talk about it. But I did think that it was a bit funny how so many women felt as if circumcision was just a matter of fact thing, so to speak. Because at the end of the day, the person who has to live with their dick is your son. You know, I mean, you're making the decision to cut on him, and it doesn't really affect you much at all. And you made a decision, sometimes with the help of a doctor. I mean, and people trust their doctors. I mean, I'm pretty sure my mama she might have even been upset with the doctor that told her she wouldn't perform the procedure because she thought the procedure was purely cosmetic and insurance wasn't going to cover it because the doctor thought it was a cosmetic procedure. So, yeah, like, it was interesting only because I say that to say this, because a lot of women, we heard a lot over the political campaigns this year about the Republican war on women. They talked a lot about women's reproductive rights, women being able to obtain birth control, to be able to have abortions and things of that nature. And they talked about a lot of politicians speaking on women's issues, so to speak, and not really, you know, he's not a woman, so how can he speak for me? That type of thing was going on all the time. And ironically, some of these same women who would have an issue with a man telling them, well, no, you can't have an abortion, no, you can't do this with your body sexually and everything else, had no issue at all selling or making the decision to cut a boy's genitals. They had no issue at all with doing it. And one of my friends said she'd do it again. You know, and it was just amazing to me how cavalier their attitude was. And I found a video on YouTube, man. It was this one guy who was his wife was pregnant. They were trying to decide whether or not they were going to get their son circumcised or not. And in the decision, it was pretty much just he wondered, you know, because they kept talking about the issues with disease and infection and things of that nature. But the percentages, again, they're so low. Like, it was like maybe 1%. Or if you get them circumcised, it goes down to 0.3%, that type of thing. And he was saying that, well, you know, if we're going to cut on my son's penis to prevent him from getting these types of diseases, you know, women are more prone to get breast cancer. But you aren't prone to just as a precaution or as a preemptive procedure to not incur breast cancer. You're not advocating for women to just have their breasts summarily removed. So, yeah, it's a real touchy issue. I mean, the shit got kind of, it was kind of personal to me because, like I said, I got some experience in it. I mean, carrying a dick around for 32 years, you know. But it was real interesting, man. I really do want to know what you guys think on this issue, man. I really do. I want some feedback on this because, honestly, it wasn't a lot of dudes commenting in this shit. It was me and one other guy that I know from college. And we were the only two guys talking about it. It was a lot of female commenting. It was a lot of female input put into that discussion. Not a lot of dudes was talking about it. I know, you know, it's some dudes, man, like, they, you know, again, there's a social stigma being uncut, you know, that whole thing. And I don't know if, like, niggas just either don't care, or they might have been, they might not have been aware that the discussion was going on, or they, you know, they kind of felt like maybe they didn't want to talk about it because they had been intimidated to talk about the subject so personally. So, yeah, man, I want to know what you guys think about whether or not you should allow, you know, you should have your son circumcised when he's a baby, or should you allow him to grow up and make that decision for himself? So, yeah, I might even make that like a poll or something on thespanreport.com, man, to find out what people are thinking about this. Because I thought this was a really interesting topic when you think about the sexual dynamics, sexual identification, sexual behavior, a whole lot of things, man, sexual reproductive rights. It covers all of that. And so I want to know what you guys think. So here's what you can do for me here at the Span Report. You can hit me up at the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me a voicemail message there. Let me know what you thought, you know, what you're thinking on this topic, what you're thinking on anything else I've said on the show or previous shows or whatever. Hit me up on the hotline. Let me know. You can email me at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Shoot me your responses that way. You can also reach me on Twitter. I am Mr. Span. That's MR_Span on Twitter. So we could talk about it on there. You can hit me at my Span, my Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. Go and like the Mr. Span fan page. I posed the question there also, so you can put your feedback there. Let me know what you guys are thinking on that. Let's see, what else? Yeah, you can leave comments because this, not only will this podcast be available on Stitcher Radio, on iTunes, on Pocket Cast, on thespanreport.com, and some of you may get the link on your Facebook walls. You can comment on thespanreport.com. On each post for every podcast, you could post with your Twitter account, you could post with your Facebook account, or you could just leave a post directly to thespanreport.com. You don't have to sign in or anything, just put some little identifying shit, you know, just your name, email, maybe, whatever. I'm just gonna read them, but you could put that on there. You could respond directly at thespanreport.com, and the podcast will also be on my Span TV channel on YouTube. I'm a little bit behind with uploading my shit on YouTube, but the podcast will be available on YouTube as well, so check for that. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it. I was able to get this shit done in one take. So yeah, man, again, I'm gonna get out of here, but again, I want to say Happy New Year's to everybody. Hopefully the next few times you guys hear from me, I would have been moved out the fucking city. And yeah, I'll be a little bit more chipper. So until next time, fam. Peace.
makes any difference. I still love you, girl. You're my weakness. You change my world. Share my life. Trust in me. You're all I want. Everything I need. Ooh, baby. It makes any difference. Give you all my heart. Girl, my sun sets anywhere you are. Maybe I'm a dreamer. You're still my. Girl, it's running right through me. Share my life.
Share.
Hey, girl,
life.
You can trust in me.
Trust,
baby.
In me, girl.
You're all I want.
You are.
Hey,
I
girl,
want.
Yeah, everything I need. Hey, babe,
you're my dream and my joy. My heart belongs to you, girl. So I sat down one day and I wrote this song, 'cause I need you in my world.